yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Please stand and let us pray. With your right hand lifted, say, Heavenly Father, by the dominion and power of the blood of Jesus, I release the atmosphere. I break horns. I break. I override every heaviness, every clouds of darkness, of heaviness, heavy burdens. Say, by the dominion of the blood of Jesus, I break it and override it, and I loose the atmosphere. Now let the Spirit of the Lord have his way. Let the word of the Lord proceed unhindered. Say, I rebuke hindering spirits. And now I engage and deploy the hand of the Lord to be heavy on my enemies. In the name of Jesus, let the oil flow. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now shout, clap your hands, give God praise. It's surely good to have you in service. Just want you to know I love you. Just want you to know I love you. Just want to say that. Amen. I can't help it but to just tell you what I feel. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this church a better place. In Jesus' name. Well, reach out and touch somebody has. Make this church a better place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and clap your hands and be seated. I've been preaching on transgenerational blessing and as it relates to covenant and the fact that there is no covenant without a sacrifice. And also that you can't assume the blessing of Abraham until you've assumed the responsibility of Abraham. We also did establish that there is a difference between a promise and a covenant. That a promise is activated by faith and by prayer, but a covenant is activated by obedience and sacrifice. We also did establish that a promise is made by an individual and it doesn't require an oath. But a covenant has terms and conditions and backed with an oath. And so we have to appreciate the difference between what a covenant and a promise is. When we fast and we pray and we exercise our faith, we are enforcing and activating the covenant, the promise of God. And when it comes to the covenant of God, there are terms and conditions, there are requirements. And one of the things that is required of us is obedience and sacrifice. So we've been talking about sacrifice as it relates to the covenant of God, and I'm continuing today. Amen. Let's begin with Psalm 50 and the fifth verse. Psalm 50 and verse 5. Psalm 50 and verse 5.
Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Gather together my saints unto me. Are there any saints of God here? Just wave at me. Got any saints of God here? Now, if you are a saint of God, if you are a saint, the Bible talks about the redeemed of the Lord. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So we are saints. We don't have to die to become saints. God is saying here that gather my saints together unto me. And he said, those who have made a covenant with me by a sacrifice. It means that there is no covenant without a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is the ultimate of all offerings. And realize and understand this, and please keep it in your Bible. Write it down, that in the realm of the spirit, the highest bidder always wins the day. In the realm of the spirit, the highest bidder always wins the day. And in the realm of the spirit, the object of blood is the highest form of sacrifice. Please understand that. If you don't understand some of these things, you will be a Christian, walk in the body of Christ, and still be disadvantaged. But God never intended that we should be disadvantaged. Now, it doesn't matter what the enemy has planned for anyone here, for this house and for this nation, under the sound of my voice, I declare by the dominion of the blood of Jesus that it shall be overturned. Say, I hear you. But we have to understand how it works. We have to understand that nothing happens until we do something. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that things don't just happen because you are a child of God. Now, the Bible talks about the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. Some call it the gifts of the Spirit, but I call it the manifestations of the Spirit. We have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge deals with issues of the past and the now. It reveals things, mysteries, things of the past and of the now, things that are not yet known, and things of the past that are not known, it reveals them. Then we have the word of wisdom that reveals events to come. Then we have the word of that we have the discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirit gives you the capacity or the ability to see into the realm of the spirit, like you can see me in the natural. It gives you the ability to see into the realm of the spirit and to see exactly spirit working behind individuals or a particular manifestation. Then we have the vocal gifts. We have the revelational gifts, the gifts that reveal something. It's just what I spoke about, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, word of wisdom. Then we have the gifts that reveal something, and the gifts that say something. We call it the vocal gifts. That is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Somebody will stand and say, Iludu sakadahayas. Now, I don't understand that. You are confusing me. It is not acceptable. You must be able to tell me what you just said. So I interpret. I am the Lord God. Have I not promised? And did I not bring your fathers out of the land of Egypt? Was it not I that parted the Red Sea and brought them to the Red Sea and fed them with manna from heaven, said the Lord? Did I not give them water from the rock? Did I not deal with their enemies? Did I not drown the Pharaoh of Egypt in the waters of the Red Sea? I am God. If you shall put your trust and confidence in me, then you will experience my power and my wonders and my deliverance, even as your forefather did. That saith the Lord. That is a language of understanding, but I had to speak in the language of tongues, which is mystery, to be able to bring it in the language of understanding. So that is what we call tongue, an interpretation of tongue. Because if we are all quiet and you speak in tongues, it makes no sense to anybody. But if we are all praying and you are praying in tongues unto God without anybody hearing you, that is acceptable. But you just can't pray in tongues when everybody is quiet in a language nobody understands. It is not acceptable scripturally. So we have what we call the vocal gifts, and we have what we call the gifts that do something. We call it the power gifts, the gifts that do something. Now we have the gift of faith. The gift of faith gives you the ability and the capacity to dare certain circumstances and situations in the natural, where you see Jesus walking on the sea. That is the gift of faith. Raising the dead, you need the gift of faith and the gifts of healing to raise the dead. And so we have the gift of faith, which allows people to do unusual things. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things, mind-blowing things. You just look at them and you can tell that this guy is not capable of what he's doing in the natural. He's not capable by education, by all standard, and yet he's doing it. It's the gift of faith in action. Then we have what we call the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing, and I've seen it. It works in my life every now and then. I've seen so many mind-blowing healings, like the last time I was speaking in the Destiny, a new Destiny in Orlando, Florida, at Dr. Paula White's church. It's on the internet. A lady had an accident and lost her kneecap, and she had to do a surgery, and she was waiting for another kneecap to be placed, but they had to give her a kneecap of a dead person. And whilst I was praying for the sick, she received a brand new kneecap. You know, now I wasn't even praying for a kneecap. I didn't know there was somebody there who had a problem with a kneecap. I was praying for the sick generally. And the Spirit of God began to move because he saw a need. And God worked it between him and the lady. And it had nothing to do with me. I was just praying. I was just a vessel. But the gifts of healings, God moves. And I see deaf ears open every now and then. We have it there on the internet and things. You can look at them. But that is not my passion. That is not my passion. That is not my drive and motivation to always pray for the sick. I do it every now and then. Then we have what we call the gifts of the workings of miracles. Everybody say workings. Everybody do this. Say workings. Aha. You see, so miracles don't just happen. And that is the reason why some see miracles and others don't. Because miracles don't just happen. You have to do something for a miracle to happen. You got to work it. Somebody say, work it, work it, work it. So I'm talking about working the covenant right now. And we work the covenant by obedience and by sacrifice. And there is no covenant without a sacrifice. Somebody say, I hear you. Now come with me to Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis, the fourth chapter. Reading the fourth verse to the fifth verse. Genesis 4:4-5.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
You see, there's a reason why many are angry with others. And there's a reason why some are jealous of the blessings of others. But hold it a minute. Before you get jealous of me, and before you get angry with me, you better find out the history behind my blessings. Is anybody hearing me? Somebody say, talk to me, talk to me. I'm talking to you because you better hear me. It's easy to be jealous and envious of others and to be angry with people. But you got to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, that blessing don't just come on a silver platter. You must always do something to merit it. It just don't happen. And God is not just sitting down blessing just everybody. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say, talk to me. Now, I need to establish two things here. God himself believes in sacrifice. And nobody have sacrificed than God has. And you see, nobody has sacrificed like God has. And number two, please understand that God was the first person who sacrificed before any human being sacrificed. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, he said, the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. What does the word slain mean? The lamb sacrificed before the foundations of the earth. So before the earth was established, God himself needed a sacrifice lamb to establish the earth. So first, before the earth was established, God had to slay a lamb. The lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Somebody say, talk to me. Now watch this. Then the Bible says in Revelation, the 12th chapter, that there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. That has to do with past tense and future. So it's in twofold. It's been done and there shall be a repetition of it. So it's in twofold. Now watch this. I've always said that the blood of Jesus was shed before 2,000 years ago. Now if the blood of Jesus was shed before 2,000 years ago, then what I'm saying makes sense logically. Now, if it was shed 2,000 years ago, then that blood in Revelation 12 that overcame the enemy, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Where did that blood of the Lamb come from if the blood wasn't shed before 2,000 years ago? So when you make a sacrifice, it's not about where you are now, but the sacrifice speaks to your future. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. So the blood of Jesus was shed before the foundations of the earth because God knew that he would need a sacrifice before the foundations of the earth was established. He also knew that there would be a war in heaven, and the blood of the lamb, a spotless and a precious blood, will be needed to overcome. So when it comes to overcoming the enemy and the forces of evil and the powers of darkness, we need to engage the blood of Jesus. Let's move on. So understand that God was the first person who ever sacrificed. The people in this world, Jesus said the other day, Jesus said, the children of this world, the unsaved folks, are wiser than the children of God. How can the unsaved be wiser than you and I? Because we have neglected our responsibility. We have neglected that the things of the kingdom that works for the kingdom, and we have allowed the unsaved. You see, because Satan is a counterfeiter of everything God does. So we have allowed the enemy to work the very things that belongs to us, the children of God, and he's working for them. Because principle is a principle. You got to understand this, that what works for us will also work for the unsaved if they learn the principles. For instance, when it rains, and this land here is 100 acres of land, and it belongs to a believer, and he plants maybe 1,000 seed here. The next land belongs to an unbeliever, someone who doesn't believe in God. Say there is no God. He plants 100,000 seed, and it rains. The rain is not just going to fall on the ground of the believer and not fall on the ground of the unbeliever. It will fall on both. And when it's time for harvest, the one that planted 1,000 seed is not going to get more seed than the one that planted 100,000, because it's an unbeliever. God is a just God. It's a principle. And principles are product of eternal decrees. Therefore, if an unbeliever works it, it works for them. That's why there are people who don't go to church and they are loaded. And there are people who come to church and they are broke. What is the difference? The difference is that the one who comes to church don't understand and work the principles, and the one who don't come to church works the principles. So when the sun appears on the good and on the bad. When it rains, it falls on the good and on the bad. That is the way God made it. I didn't ask you to clap. You decided to clap, so can you do it well? Now, please understand, we've been talking about Eden, the Garden of Eden. And I told you that Eden means a place of delight, a place of prosperity, and a place of pleasures. Now watch this. After farming of the word of God for such a long time, and the Bible said that the voice of God walked in the garden. Have you ever seen a voice walking? But the Bible said the voice of God walked in the garden. And after God sent them out of the garden, the voice of God was not heard anymore. God stopped talking to man because he felt that man didn't value and appreciate what he did for man. So God repented from making man in his own image. And please also understand that the second sacrifice in the Bible was done by God. When man fell and became naked, God slew a lamb, an animal, and took the skin of the animal to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. That was the second sacrifice in the Bible, and God did it himself. So you must understand that before, when you go to the fetish and you go to some of these people who deals in the occult and mysticism, and they ask you, bring a goat, bring a fowl, bring a chicken, sacrifice this. If you go to a malam, he doesn't tell you to pray 5 times a day and convert you to Islam. He tells you to bring this and bring that, and he performs a sacrifice. And then when you follow the instructions, then when the sacrifice is performed, then you see a result. And please understand what I said, that in the realm of the spirit, the highest bidder wins the day. And I'm going somewhere with what I'm saying, so stay with me. Now, the next time God decided, after silence on earth, that God won't speak to man, the next time you see God come on the scene to engage man, the first thing he demanded before engaging man, that I'm a relational God and I want relationship reestablished between me and humanity, the first thing he demanded was a sacrifice. That was Genesis 4, 4 to 5. He demanded a sacrifice to be offered unto him. Now come to Hebrews 11 and 4. Look at Hebrews 11 and 4.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh.
You see, so that if you are righteous, sacrifice is one of the signs of righteousness. Sacrifice is one of the signs that shows your righteousness to God. Now, watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, watch this. If he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith, and the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word from God, then it stands to reason logically as a logician that Abel heard something Cain didn't hear. Are you hearing me, somebody? If his sacrifice was more acceptable than that of Cain, and the offering he did was by faith. You see it there. Is it in your Bible? By what? By what? And how does faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Abel heard something Cain didn't hear. You didn't get it?
Oh yes, we got it.
That was a good place. Somebody should have clapped their hands and shouted. You still didn't hear it. You still didn't get it. You are still sleeping. I rebuke the spirit of slumbering. I break the spell of slumbering over you. In the name of Jesus, say amen. What am I saying here? I'm saying that when it comes to offering, that is the time one needs to develop and cultivate the capacity and ability and audacity to hear from God like never before. Because your ability to hear from God determines your sacrifice. Your sacrifice determines the outcomes of your life. The good outcomes of your life determines your comfort in life. Your comfort in life determines how long you live. And the problem here with Cain and Abel's offering is the fact that Cain gave whatever he wanted to give. He just gave. It's my money, and I do what I want with my money. It's not your money. You don't have anything. You came empty, and empty you shall return. We are all custodians of everything. We are trustees, stewards of everything, possessors of nothing. You don't own anything. It was given unto you. The Bible said, what have you that you did not receive it? And why then do you act like you did not receive it? The Bible said a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. So it was given unto you for a purpose. And whenever the master needs it, he has the right to tell you exactly what he wants out of what he has given you, and he expects you to cheerfully and happily surrender it and give it, because it wasn't yours anyway. Somebody say, talk to me. Come with me to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. You see, God is specific about the things he says. And God doesn't apologize for the things he says, because he's God by himself. He doesn't need to apologize for anything, because he's Elohim. He's El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh. Are you hearing me? He is I Am. When Moses met him by the burning bush, he said, anyway, I hear your voice. Now you are telling me to go and deliver your children from Israel, from Egypt, from the hands of Pharaoh. Now what is your name? And what do I tell Pharaoh? And what do I say to Pharaoh about the one that sent me? I need an identification. Give me some identification. What is your name? And he said, you can't handle my name. The best I can give to you about who I am is that my name is I am. I am, I am. He said, I am. He said, yes. Tell Pharaoh, I am. Whatever you want and you need, I am. If you want peace, I am. You want joy, I am. You want protection, I am. You want blessings, I am. You want money, I am. You want a husband, I am. Whatever you want, I am. And tell Pharaoh, if he think he's a king, I am the King of Kings. If he think he's Lord, I am the Lord of Lords. If he thinks he has power, I am the source of all power. If he thinks he has authority, I am authority. If he thinks he has dominion, I am dominion. If he thinks he's a captain, I am the general and the captain of the armies of Israel. Whatever he thinks he is, I am. Somebody shout, I am. Jesus came and said, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the resurrection, and I am life. I am. He said, I am what I am. What a name. Genesis 22, 1 to 2.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac.
Underline the word love. Only. Go ahead.
Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
I told you the other day that there are three important things in the sacrifice, three important ingredients that makes a sacrifice complete. Number one, the object. Number two, the place. Number three, the how or the means or the method through which and by which the sacrifice is offered. That means that you don't go sacrificing everywhere. So many years ago, we had a guy in this church when we were at my father's house. Anytime he paid tithe, his tithe was very heavy. And anytime he paid tithe, he would come to me and say, I paid my tithe, and this is what I want the church to do with my tithe. I said, take back your tithe. You are not the personal Holy Ghost of the church. You don't tell me how we run the church. We run the church based on the ordinances of Scripture and by the inspiration of the Most High God. I say you are not the inspiration of the church. You can't tell me where we should send the monies of the church to. The Bible said that they might be meat in my house, not in an orphanage. Because people give, you see, people give religiously and many people give emotionally. And emotional giving is a curse. Because an emotional giving is one that you do and after you regret doing it. And it's a curse. So I said, you can't tell the church how we should run the church because you pay a big tithe. That's not the way we run the church. You bring your tithe because you don't own the tithe. It is not yours anyway. And number two, the reason why God says bring the tithe, all the tithes into my house, that there might be meat in my house. Meat stands for nourishment. Protein for spiritual nourishment. That there might be spiritual nourishment in my house, spiritual protein. And understand this, ladies and gentlemen, you have 10 toes and 10 fingers, and we have 10 commandments, not 11, because 11 is a number of chaos, and 9 is not also the number of wholeness. The number 10 is a number of wholeness. So God said, if you bring me the 10, which is the tithe, I will make the 90 whole, and I will sanctify the 90. So it is the 10 that sanctifies the 90. So when you don't bring the 10, the 90 is not sanctified before God. And let me tell you something. The early you learn that God is smarter and wiser than you, the better life becomes for you. Because you can decide not to honor the word of God, and you can decide to say that tithe was under the law. But that also lets me know that you are very ignorant. Because tithe and communion was before the law. And the things that were before the law are still doable. They are ordinances. They are not things you break. And even in the New Testament, they tithe. In the book of Hebrews, here men receive it, but there he receives it. So when we receive it here, we pass it on, and he acknowledges that it's been registered in his house. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is the 10 that sanctifies the 90. So God said, if you bring the 10, I will make the 90 whole. Those are principles I didn't put in the Bible. God did. And I respect the word of God and I respect the demands of Elohim. But please come to Genesis. When you look at Genesis 22, it talks about take now thy son, thine only, underline the word only. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it has to be in the category of only and that which you love the most. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He loved and gave his only begotten. Now love is not what you say, but love is what you do. Love is not talk. Love is walk. Are you hearing me, somebody? Margaret Thatcher, one of the prime ministers of Great Britain, said something very interesting. She said that the good Samaritan did not just have good intentions, but he also had money. The good Samaritan didn't just have good intentions. What is she saying? Ladies and gentlemen, good intentions are not enough. Good intentions don't make things happen. And having a desire don't make anything happen, and wishes don't make things happen. It is what you do with your desires. It is the action, the ability, and the capacity, and the application you set in motion. Are you hearing me, somebody? That brings the manifestation of your desires, your good intention, and your wishes. Somebody say, talk to me. Yes, I'm talking to you. You are the one I'm talking to. God said, now remember that Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. God didn't say, give me one of your sons. And God didn't say, give me an offering of a son. So God said, I'm not leaving it to you to decide. I have demands and requirements. I have standards and procedures. And there are terms and conditions that governs the covenant by which I am guaranteeing it by oath. By oath. Of the fact that I swore by myself that in blessing I shall bless the seed of Abraham. And it was a twofold covenant between me and Abraham and his seed after him in their generation. And I demand that Abraham and his seed will follow my demands and my requirement. And by that, my covenant shall stand from generation to generation. Please clap if you are clapping. Now, so God was specific, thy son. Thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, take him into the land of Moriah to offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I shall show thee. Now, see the result. Go to chapter 13, 14, and 15. See. And Abraham lifted up his eyes.
Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket.
God always has a provision for you. There is always a provision. The only reason why you haven't discovered the provision is because you haven't fulfilled the requirements. I'm telling you, you haven't. The day you fulfill the demands of God and the requirements, the Bible says, Jehovah Jireh, which means upon the mountain of the Lord, it shall be found. You will discover your provision. You will discover what you have need for and what you were born to accomplish your mission on earth. You shall discover when the conditions are fulfilled. Jesus said to John the Baptist, suffer this to be done, that all righteousness may be fulfilled. You must fulfill the condition, and there are standards and requirements. It is not left to you and your choice. God demands. God commands. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when it's time for offering, don't just try to do your own thing, and don't tip God. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, and if I was hungry, I will not tell you, because you don't even know my diet and the depths of my appetite. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. So please don't fool around, don't fool with God, and don't try to intellectualize scripture and subject it to your logical conclusions and use philosophy to analyze God and to bug him, because the word of God is not negotiable. All right, go ahead.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Now the ram was there before he got there and didn't see it until he obeyed the demands. It was after he had followed through with the demands of God. You see, God told Abel, Abel, I haven't spoken to man for a long time. I am a relational God. I want to engage man again. But the condition is sacrifice. I want the best out of everything. So that is what you do for me. And when Abel did it, the Bible says, and God had respect. Go ahead.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time.
Uh-huh.
And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing.
Because thou hast done this thing. Look at somebody and say, what have thou done to merit the blessing of the covenant? What have you done? What is it that you have done to merit the blessing of the covenant? Because it is done, it's not automatic. You have to work it. That's what the Bible says, the workings of miracles. Tell somebody, work it. He said, because of what thou hast done, I swear by myself as Elohim. I am the guarantor of this covenant. I swear by myself. Things don't just happen. You have to make it happen. Let me say this to you. Life is not fair, and life does not give you what you wish for, what you desire, or what you believe you deserve. Life only gives you what you fight for. Tell somebody, fight! Your fight was not enough. There was no passion in your fight. Tell somebody, fight! This kind of nice Christianity don't work. Are you hearing me? The Bible says from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Somebody shout, force! All this nice hypocritical Christian life, stop it. Are you hearing me, somebody? And don't tell me that humility is being humble. Your humility is when you bow your knee. I've seen people who bow and are very proud and arrogant. And don't tell me humility is poverty. Because I've seen very, very poor, arrogant, and proud people. And if you want poverty, I don't want it. It's a choice. You decided to take the poverty vow. I decided to take the prosperity vow. And there is no law. There is no law. And there is no legislation that has a legislation or a law against a human choice and decision of what anybody should choose to want to do in life. So you, by your choice, decided to take poverty vow. I, by my choice, decided to take prosperity vow. So why are you charging me? Why are you angry with me? You decided it's a matter of choice. And you know what poverty means? Poverty means a feeling, a sense, a state and a condition of hopelessness and powerlessness. It also means to be exploited, taken advantage of, and to be ruled over by anyone and anything that has money. The Bible says the poor, the rich, ruleth over the poor. And the borrower is a servant to the lender. And there was a man called Lazarus who was poor and a beggar. And he died and went to Abraham's bosom. And there was a rich man who didn't use his money to serve God. He also died and went to hell. And from hell, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and said, Father Abraham, when you were on earth, you were not my servant. You were loaded and you were heavy. But Lazarus, even though he's in paradise, he was my servant and he's still my servant in my eye, even though he's in eternity. So send him to come and serve me even in paradise. If you believe in helping the poor, how can you help the poor when you are poor yourself? How can you lead the blind when you yourself is blind? How can you clothe the naked when you are naked yourself? So Abraham did something. Let's go to Genesis 8, 20 to 22. Genesis chapter 8, 20 to 22, fast.
And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord.
Please understand this. Look at me before we proceed here. This is after the flood. Now there was a distraction of the whole earth, and God wasn't speaking to man anymore. The first time God decided to engage man was when Noah built an altar. And look at what he did.
Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast.
Every clean beast.
And of every clean fowl.
And every clean fowl.
And he offered burnt offering.
Listen, when it comes to a sacrifice, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's not the volume, but it's the cost and the price of the sacrifice. And remember that in the realm of the spirit, the highest bidder always wins the day. And that was what Noah did. And remember that there cannot be an altar without a sacrifice. Neither can there be a sacrifice without an altar. An altar without a sacrifice is a powerless and impotent and a meaningless altar. You want to talk about a powerful altar, there has to be a sacrifice upon it. It is the sacrifice that distinguishes an altar from an ordinary stone. What makes this altar? Not everybody can stand here. This is an altar. Not everybody can stand here.
And he offered burnt offerings on the altar.
And he offered burnt offerings where? On the altar. Not a hospital, an orphanage, to some secret society, to the prison ministry. That is the role of the church. That's why we have prison ministry in the church, hospital ministry in the church. That's why we have adopted 150 orphans. That's why we have the drug rehab center and everything. I just got them a land. We have to build room for them. We have over 100 of them right now with young ladies and with ladies with kids and things, and they don't have enough place to sleep and to be. And it is the church responsibility to take care of these people. Because once upon a time, I used to be on drug myself. I used to smoke the thing, marijuana. And I'll smoke the thing heavy, and I'll start walking like this. Thank God for deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. So we must give back to our society. We have to, and we do it through the church. So the altar is not wherever you want it to go. It's not giving to people you feel pity for, or people who say, oh, they are very sad. Mobros. Very pitiful, very sad. No, you don't give on the basis of morbid and sad and sympathy. You give purposefully by revelation. According to the scriptures, it comes into the house. This is the altar. This is where the altar is, where the name of the Lord is. And he comes, he said, bring ye all the tithe to my house, that they might be meat in my house. Spiritual protein. A lot of church are suffering. They have spiritual cash your course. There are people who are spiritually lean, so every wind can carry them and every demon can knock them down. Not here. By the grace of God, if you try, we'll block you. Glory.
And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. Uh-huh. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's
sake. The Lord
sake.
Did what? Smell what?
The sweet savor.
A sweet
savor.
Aroma. Sweet aroma. Have you ever smelled a powerful aroma? There are some perfumes when it pass by you, you feel unction to function. Look at the response.
And the Lord said in his heart,
and the Lord said in his heart,
I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done.
Now,
while the earth remaineth.
Why is the earth remain?
Seed time and harvest. And cold and heat.
Cold and heat.
And summer and winter.
Summer and winter.
And day and night shall not cease.
Shall not cease. This was when that whole thing about the consequence of seed and harvest. And God said, as long as the earth remains, if you sow, there will be a harvest. I guarantee it. He said, I swear in my heart, I have purposed in my heart. I'm setting in motion a new legislation and decrees that henceforth. But realize that after the flood, the first time God decided to talk to man, he took a sacrifice on an altar before God engaged a man. Now look at verse 9. Chapter 9 and verse 1. Look at chapter 9
and verse God 1. Blessed Noah and his sons and said
and
unto them.
And his sons. So the sacrifices we make is not just about you and I. It's also about our children. Look at Genesis 22. God said, I swear by myself, I will bless thee and your children and your seed. And it was about Abraham and his sons. So sacrifice, living a sacrificial life and giving sacrificially, giving sacrificially is not just about you. It's about the next generation, your children. Today, when people die, their children go to court. There are some people, their father is dead, and they are in court for the last 20 years. They are still in court, fighting over their father's inheritance and property. That will not be your case. Because the Abrahamic covenant was different. Our children will not fight over our inheritance. Everybody shall have their portion, and they will love one another, and our inheritance shall increase. From glory to glory, from blessing to blessing, our children will not go to court. There will be no reason. I told a friend of mine, he said, every night he sleeps, he sees his children trying to bury him. And I asked him, have you done a will? He said, yes. I said, who are the beneficiaries of the will? He said, my children. I said, then why don't you share it now? Whilst you are alive, give everybody their portion and put the rest in a trust and determine the percentage that goes to everybody. And after he did that, he said, the dream sees. I said, aha. You are the only reason why they can't get their inheritance. So they want you out of the way. So they will inherit their inheritance. So give it to them whilst you are alive. Why do you have to wait to die? Share the thing now. Put the rest in a trust. So see how they will handle it whilst you are alive. And guide them. And tell them, no, that is not how to make wealth. That is not how to acquire wealth. You destroy your inheritance. Build. Do this, invest. Money is not for spending, it's for investment. Live on the profit of your money. Go ahead. So because of what Noah did in chapter 8, chapter 9, the first thing the Bible says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth that I have cursed. Same blessing he gave in the beginning to Adam was the same blessing he repeated to him. But the way he got it was through sacrifice. What have you sacrificed? What is it that you have done to merit a transgenerational blessing? This is what we call irrevocable blessing. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 to 10. Let me show you something. Look at something quickly.
And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. That he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.
You see, they had lost the battle the first time. And the second time they were losing. So they called for the prophet to come and pray. Look at what the prophet did when he came to pray. Look, see.
And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering.
A baby lamb. Look at what he did.
And he offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord.
He offered it a burnt offering. Go ahead.
And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel.
After he has offered the sacrifice, then he prayed. So there are certain situations you must deploy a sacrifice and prayer. Go ahead.
And the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. And discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel.
May the Lord discomfit your enemies.
Amen.
I said, may the Lord discomfit your enemies.
Amen.
Please believe me that a sacrifice will provoke thunder from God. It provokes thunder to strike and to discomfit your enemies. When they said, Samuel, prophet, we lost the first battle. It looks like we are losing this one too. Pray, cry to God, do something. And the Lord said to Samuel, this one, it will require a sacrifice of a baby lamb. And when the sacrifice was offered, the Lord thundered upon the Philistines and discomfited them. Let me show you what an unbelieving king did, the king of Moab. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Look at something. 2 Kings.
And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him.
When he saw that the battle was too strong for him.
He took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not.
He took 700 of the best of his warriors, and Israel discomfited them.
Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead.
He took his eldest son that will reign in his place.
And offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall.
Offered him for a burnt offering upon the walls.
And there was great indignation against Israel.
Indignation against Israel.
And they departed from him and returned to their own land.
The battle turned against Israel. May the sacrifice you bring to God today turn the battle in your favor. I said, may your sacrifice turn the battle in your favor. May the battles of life turn in your favor by your sacrifice. And may your sacrifice bring you from obscurity into prominence. May your sacrifice bring you from zero to a hero. This was an unbeliever, not a Christian. It was an unbeliever. And they went with a prophetic word. God said, I'll deliver the king of Moab into your hands. And they went without a sacrifice. And when the king of Moab saw that the thing was turning against him, and he lost his men, and the 700 of the best warriors died. They were discomfited by Israel. He said, the king of Moab understood that in the realm of the spirit, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, the highest bidder wins the day. You go down to an auction, they are selling cars. And they said, 1,000. Then somebody say, 1,500. Then somebody say, 1,700. Somebody say, 1,900, 2,000, 2,100, 2,200, 2,300, going 2,500, 2,700, 2,900. Somebody say 3,000, 3,100, 3,500, going 3,700, 3,800, 4,000. Then somebody say 4,500, and nobody responds. 4,500, going 4,500, 1, 4,500, 2, 4,500, 3, 4,500, bam, gone. The highest bidder wins. May your offerings, may you move from the realms of offerings to the realms of sacrifice, where things happen. I'm telling you, a gentleman came to see me the other day dealing with a situation, and he brought an offering and said, Papa, this is my offering. And when he told me what he was dealing with, he said, Papa, I'm bidding for this business, and the guy that is contending with me doubles heavy in the occult. And he said, I'm told that the guy really does some things. And I understood the language. And I said, so what are you going to do? He said, I brought my offering. And I said, but is this a sacrifice or an offering? And he said, it's an offering. And I said, if you want something you haven't had before, you must do what you haven't done before. I said, what is normal won't work in this situation. What is normal won't work in this situation. Business as usual will not work for this one. So I said, go, take your offering with you. Pray on it. Think about it. Come with an offering, that which costs you something, that falls in the category of your only. And he came a few days after. When he knelt down and I held the guy, his whole body was shivering. And he said, Papa, it has to work. Oh. Then I understood that that was his last. Now he will have faith to believe God. And when I lay and I say, Father, by the dominion of the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, let the blood of this sacrifice speak into your ears and respond accordingly and react by thunder, and let the battle turn in his favor. A week after, he said, Papa, it is done. Are you hearing me? Let your sacrifice turn the battle in your favor. Let your sacrifice turn the in your favor circumstances on life and change your status quo. Change the conditions of your very daily living. You can move from zero to a hero. It doesn't matter the background you come from. Your sacrifice can buy you out of the situation. You can turn your captivity around. Hear his voice. My sheep knows my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will move from the realm of the usual to the realm of sacrifice, where we do things by obedience and sacrifice to activate the covenant in the name of your Son Jesus. We circumcise our ears by the sword of the Lord, by the finger of God. We unblock our spiritual ears that will begin to hear like we've never heard before, to do what is required, that you may have respect for us to turn situations around for our good. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I need to pray. Lift up your right hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I have vowed a vow before you that I am tired of being broke and that it is time for me also to enjoy the good of the land that I may endure for a long time, being rich in good works and financing the end time harvest, end time assignments, end time commissions. Now, O Lord, make me a giver, a pillar, a financier of the end time harvest. In the name of Jesus, let money change hands into my hands, and I promise to be faithful. I will give you the tenth of all to sanctify the 90. I will not be greedy. I will not cheat. I will not tip you. Now you can count me among that 1,000. In the name of Jesus. And let the angels now be engaged on my behalf. Let them go to work on my behalf, that wealth may change hands into my hands. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated.